T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, Clint. Yesterday in the game, outside of the just pure ass-kicking the Texans took from the Indianapolis Colts for the second time this season, kind of the big thing that happened was Davis Mills entered the game because Tyrod Taylor reportedly afterwards from David Culley had an injury that that stopped him from going in, even though he was playing awful. But the injury to the wrist stopped him from going in. This is David Culley after speaking to the media today discussing the Tyrod Taylor injury and moving forward with the quarterback position.
He's getting an MRI. They're still evaluating it, and we'll just kind of see how it is. We don't really have the results right now. It's the left, yes, left arm.
Is it a medical decision where you don't really have, you're not having to make a football decision?
No, we'll make, it'll be a football decision.
All right, football decision. So that was him today. Later reports from Ian Rapoport of NFL Networks. I don't know why I said it like that. Texans quarterback Tyrod Taylor is considered week to week with his wrist injury, sources say, and Davis Mills is potentially expected to start. The rookie third rounder gets another opportunity to learn and grow. So that's from Ian Rapoport. That was from Coach David Culley earlier, as you heard, and then that's from Ian Rapoport. Other reports very similar to that, Clint. So it looks like there is a potential quarterback decision coming up because of the injury, Clint.
Yeah, look, I think it's less about the injury and more about just ineffective play at the quarterback position. There was a time and place this year where I felt like Tyrod Taylor gave this team a better chance to win. I no longer feel that way. I've seen a small sample size of both quarterbacks, roughly 6 ball games, if you will. And I don't feel like Tyrod Taylor, we can't keep hanging on the fact that Tyrod Taylor can move around with his legs a little bit better than Davis Mills, and keep hanging on that and say, well, that gives this team a better chance to win ball games, or that gives this team a better chance to put an offense on the field that's at least looks like they've practiced during the week. I think Davis Mills, when he entered the game yesterday, I think you saw an immediate throw where he moved the pocket just a bit, threw back across his body. I think he hit Brandon Cooks for a 14-yard gain there.
For some reason, it felt like when he entered the game, Brandon Cooks entered the game.
Got 2 back-to-back touches, didn't he?
Yeah, got a nice reverse that they got something out of.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that at this point in time that Davis Mills doesn't give you the better chance to win a ball game. And I feel confident in saying that forget the rebuild. Forget the rookie versus the veteran. Forget all that. Just watch just what we've watched at the quarterback position. There's no reason whatsoever for Tyrod Taylor's job to not be taken by Davis Mills at this point in time. There's no reason for David Culley, whether there's an injury or not, there's no reason for David Culley to say, okay, we're going to shelve Tyrod Taylor the rest of the year and we're going to go with Davis Mills. Absolutely not one single reason out there. And I expect them to play Davis Mills moving forward. Now, Culley may use the wrist as a reason to let Tyrod Taylor down softly, but ultimately this should be Davis Mills' football team the rest of the way.
Yeah, I don't even remember the first 6 quarters, right? We were hanging on that a ton. The first 6 quarters of the season, the first game against Jacksonville, the 2 quarters against Cleveland in the first half that Tyrod Taylor was, all right, yeah, it's clear. Like, right now, I don't know how you can stand up. And I'm not saying Davis Mills is good, I don't know how you could sit up and say you know for a shadow of a doubt that one of these players gives you the best chance to win. Because this is the second time this year that Tyrod Taylor has just made a play that's just inexcusable that anybody should make. Throwing an interception where he's trying to throw the ball away out of bounds and he's outside of the tackle box and can punt it into the stands, but somehow throws it into the hands of, yeah, of the other team. And Davis Mills, who has struggled, who I don't believe is a starting quarterback in this league, but he's not making mistakes like that. Like, he's not making just egregious mistakes like that. His mistakes are, hell, I just didn't see that guy coming.
Yeah, forcing the football into coverage.
Yeah, I didn't see. This one is just lackadaisical silliness, and he's turning the ball over, and this offense has not responded to him.
Yeah, so I was less hung up on what he did for six quarters, even though I understand that, and I think a lot of people were. I mean, you and I talked about it. I had reached a point with Davis Mills where, the snowball's rolling downhill. Like, it's so bad offensively. Like, if Tyrod Taylor brings some kind of stability to the offense, you got to go back to Tyrod Taylor. Well, they went back to Tyrod Taylor, and there's zero stability been provided. In fact, the opponents have weakened, and the quarterback play has continued to trend in the wrong direction. And so, if Tyrod Taylor's not going to bring those things to the table, and you've got Davis Mills sitting over there with five games to go, I just don't know how you don't go back to the rookie and give him the reins, give him the confidence that he can go out there and play, and no matter what happens, it's going to be his football team to see if he can let his hair down and let it rip and see what he's learned. It makes one more situation where I don't know how David Culley and Nick Caserio, I don't know how they don't go back to Davis Mills at this point. And if they don't go back to Davis Mills, if they stand firm behind Tyrod Taylor the way that they've stood firm behind Tim Kelly and David Johnson and several guys this season, I think it does more damage than it does good.
Side note to this, if he's got torn ligaments in his left wrist and this prevents him from playing, does Jeff Driskel continue to play tight end?
JD.
Or is it now Jeff Driskel's got to stop playing tight end, and that freakishly athletic player, the most freakishly athletic player in the state of Texas, does he then have to go back to quarterback because you don't have a backup? Because Deshaun's not playing.
If it were me, I'd put him – if he's that freakishly of an athlete, I'd put him back at quarterback.
Let's go Taysom Hill this
and
thing.
That's where I was going. I'd have me a little Taysom Hill package in there. You bet your ass. Yeah.
Oh, why not?
Yeah. As much as this offense has struggled, yeah. Hey, Coach, I know we're not trying to win ball games here, but, damn, I got to get somebody in there that can at least provide a little bit of fun.
See if he can be Taysom Hill.
Correct.
Instead of Gronk.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, college football was amazing this weekend. We found out the top four. Alabama at 1 after beating the brakes off of Georgia. Michigan at 2 after beating the hell out of Iowa. Georgia drops from 1-3. Cincinnati goes in, and they're in the playoff at 4. Notre Dame right outside at 5. Ohio State 6. I think Baylor should have been ahead of them after winning a Big 12 championship. Ole Miss, what a year for the Rebels, and Lane Kiffin at 8 to finish, and then Oklahoma State at 9 and Michigan State at 10. That's the top 10. Bowl games are set. Interesting thoughts on this. Did you see this growing yesterday? Because I feel like people just want to talk about it, and I want to know if you thought it was as much BS as I did about, oh, I don't know, man. Does Georgia belong? People started coming out about Georgia's resume, and they hadn't beaten anybody, and after Alabama, like, starting to stack up their teams and starting to try to stack up their wins against Notre Dame, like, Georgia deserves to be there, right?
Absolutely. No question about it. I think if this were a normal year and OU was up there that balled out and won their division and Clemson had balled out and won their division, then we could possibly talk about, a loser that got, quite frankly, they got embarrassed in the SEC championship game. Maybe not being in there, but
maybe
in a year,
if Oklahoma State would have won their game and they're the Big 12
champ, somebody could have made it interesting. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But I mean, look, you got Ohio State who didn't make it their championship game, Clemson didn't make it their championship game, OU didn't make it their championship game. I mean, those are all three. Notre Dame had lost to a group of five football team. I mean, you got some crazy things that have happened this year in college football. So your top four your legit conversation about top four had to consist of Georgia.
Yeah.
And after you know, looking at Notre Dame and Cincinnati, you obviously couldn't jump Cincinnati with Notre Dame. Ohio State didn't even play in their conference championship, so you can't jump them. I mean, there was just nobody to jump completely over Georgia. So in a normal year, I may partake in that conversation. This year, I think you're full of bull. I think it's just a matter of – there's a little SEC hate right there, not wanting two teams.
We got a lot of time to get to with these bowl matchups, some great ones in the New Year's 7. Right now it opens. Alabama, 13.5-point favorite over Cincinnati. Georgia, 7.5-point favorite over that Michigan team we just watched dominate the last 2 weeks. Iowa, like, people just don't beat up Iowa the way they beat them up, and then dominate Ohio State and beat them up at home and get that monkey off their back. That feels a little strong to me. 7.5 going to Georgia over that Michigan team we just watched dominate.
I would take Michigan into points, and I would take Alabama and give up the points.
Yeah,
I'd lay the points. I don't think Cincinnati has a chance in hell of competing versus these horses. I don't think they have a chance in hell. But I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I'd love to see Cincinnati. I'm gonna tell you why I'm stoked.
Shaking it off hardcore.
I'm gonna tell you why I'm stoked about this year, because there are now 66 college football teams in America, the Group of Five football teams, that now have a whole nother reason to go to work every day. If you go undefeated, there is proof now that you can get into the college football playoffs. Now, I don't think it's going to matter. They're going to expand the playoffs sooner rather than later anyway. But I'm a guy that I'm here for college football, the best of college football. I'm here for the players. And there's 66 teams right now. Group of five football teams right now.
That's right.
That their coach can look them in the eye and say, if you come to work every day and do what it takes to go undefeated, we can get in the college football playoffs.
Yep.
You go undefeated,
everybody else loses around you.
Fair.
Oklahoma, Clemson have down years.
And
the team behind you, directly behind you, you just happen to beat on the road at their place. And that, it can happen.
And you can go to the playoffs and get embarrassed.
I hope Lil Show plays Group of Five football.
And it can happen.
And his team goes undefeated. I'm going to mark that. We're going to play that for Lil Show.
His height says it.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, we got a big one. I think the game of the weekend tonight, Monday Night Football.
Come on.
The Patriots at Buffalo. Many people think the Patriots, and I think you do right now, are the best team in the AFC. How do you see this game going tonight?
Wow.
Who you got tonight?
Good question, man. I mean, I think it's going to be a hell of a football game. I mean, I think you've got obviously it means a lot. I mean, can New England continue trending in the right direction, win that division, or does Buffalo do what everybody thought they were going to do and rebound and not be the team that just falls asleep some Sunday afternoons? I'm going to go with New England. I already doubted Saban last week, and I lost $50 in a nice bottle of whatever the hell you want. I'm not doubting Bill Belichick the best at the pro level tonight. I ain't doing it.
You know how confident I am tonight? You talked about that bottle. You don't even have to bring nothing to the table. I'm going to put the bottle on the line here.
You going double or nothing?
You're going to bring nothing to the table. Buffalo's going to win by double digits tonight.
So you're going to give me New England and 10?
Buffalo's going to win
or
by
New England and 9?
Yes. Buffalo's going to win by double digits tonight. And if they don't, the bet's off. That's how confident I feel.
Oh, that's a hell of a deal for me.
That's how confident
Thanks,
I feel.
Thanks, Bob. I'll take
that's
it.
That's how confident
I
feel.
Hey, Tyler, you think I should take that bet?
I mean, yeah, I don't really understand show strategy.
I'm just telling you how confident
nice
I am.
Time.
I'm just telling you how confident
he
I am.
He don't know how to win. That's
they are going to be, they are going to blow the doors off the Patriots tonight. They are going to blow the doors off of them tonight. I feel that good about it. Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Probably going to lose vodka tomorrow, but Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. This Texans team is bad, really, really bad. But the worst part about it is, we'll tell you on the other side. That's it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right. I want to hear from the folks today. Since we're reacting, want to hear you react. 713-572-4610. You can text in and you can call in and be a part of the show. And Clint, I don't think anyone is surprised that this was going to be a bad football team this year. Right. I mean, we looked at it. We saw it. We could see first year coach trying to put a program together. Like, you look and you thought this was, we all said it, they're going to have a high draft pick. But we also said, I remember in Max Bowl, we said, this ain't going to be the worst team in football. Well, we were wrong. This feels like the worst team in football. But the thing about it, Clint.
Dead ass.
But the thing about it, Clint and Tyler, it feels like it don't have to be this bad. Like, it feels like we knew they could be bad, but not just worse than the Lions, not worse than the Jets, and not just on the scoreboard, but just operation-wise and how it looks. It just didn't have to be this bad.
No, it doesn't, and didn't have to be. I mean, this is the decision that Nick Caserio made. I mean, this is the Nick Caserio is 0-1 in my opinion. We can have all the players, all these older heads, and yada yada yada, but Nick Caserio in decisions that he's made that could impact this organization extremely long term. The hiring of David Culley, it was a major swing and miss.
I will stand on the top of any building in Houston and say it was worse than anything Bill O'Brien did.
Oh wow, trading DeAndre Hopkins,
worse. Worse, in my opinion, because this was DeAndre Hopkins. It was dumb as hell, right? But you can at least in your mind, with everything else they did, make it make sense. We're going to trade DeAndre Hopkins, and then in our mind, we're going to try to put several receivers around him and make the offense have more weapons than just one. This one is my rebuild is starting. I'm starting my whole new program, and I've got. When you take into account what was available as well, I'm going to start my program over with somebody who clearly you can tell within the first 30 seconds of meeting him, he's not a head coach. He's not able to handle everything he's about to have to handle with Deshaun Watson, with everything coming about. And I'm going to pick his coaching staff for him. This to me, and I will stand on, and people can argue all day, It is worse than anything he did.
Yeah,
hiring him.
I'm not gonna argue with you, but I'm gonna disagree with you though on the DeAndre Hopkins front, because it wasn't just to spread the ball around. Bill didn't like DeAndre. Now we know what regime's in the building. It's led by Jack Easterby. I don't believe Jack Easterby wanted his leadership to be guys like DeAndre Hopkins, whatever you make of it. I think he wanted choir boys. DeAndre's a great dude, but he's not a choir boy. He's not a Bill Belichick type of practicer. I think Jack Easterby had a lot more to do with that than just Bill O'Brien did. I think they both did. But
I'm not saying that was the only reason. I'm telling you, you can make it. You can go on the football field. All right, make it make sense. All right, we feel like we got Deshaun Watson, a guy who's coming into his own. All right, we're going to trade away the one receiver that he depends on, and we're going to try to put a better compliment around him. Like that it was dumb and turned out to be dumb, and I was dumb. I was someone who thought, like, maybe that can work.
Right,
and I put myself in. But you can at least make it make sense. This here, let me bring in David Culley. It makes no sense. There's no explanation for it, especially when you hear him talk. There's no explanation for
that. That I will agree with. And here's why it matters now. And some people may be saying, well, hell, we knew that 2 months ago. Well, I mean, here's why it matters now is because the guy that you chose, the guy that Nick Caserio chose, right, that decision lays at the feet of Nick Caserio. And I'm talking about in the eyes of all the people that matter, the players, And somebody said, well, they're not going to be here. Well, they're the ones that are building the foundation right now. Yeah. Whatever foundation is being built, whatever you, the Houston Texans stand for, it's being built right now. There's good or bad happening. It's not just staying the same, right? But the point is you, Nick Caserio hired David Culley. David Culley has come on board, and David Culley has stood behind guys like David Johnson, Tyrod Taylor, and David Culley has gone to the, like today goes to the mic today and talks about, oh, there's nothing wrong with my coaching staff. It's basically pushing it all on the players. I think this thing is blowing up in a major way in Nick Caserio's face, and what happens is the leadership loses credibility. And when it's that bad, like it doesn't have to be as bad to the point where you start questioning the actual leadership of the organization. And I believe it's gotten bad enough where this is a leadership is losing credit type of situation. Not from me, not from the fan base. I'm talking about from the guys inside the building. You, when it's as bad as it is, and you got Brandon Cooks, good dude, good player, and he's good soldier standing behind this regime and what and ultimately Nick David Culley. At some point, the team's gonna go, nah, Cook, this ain't it, man. Right? At some point, the team is gonna go, nah, David Johnson, this ain't it, man. You know, Chris Conley, nah, man, to hell with that, this ain't it, right? And it doesn't have to be that bad. What's happened is Nick Caserio and David Culley have put the leaders that have bought into this regime and have bought into buckling down and standing pat through the change and leading by example, even though you're 2-10, you've put those guys in a position by going to the post-game presser and saying it's not your coaching, it's not your coaching staff, you have no problem with them, the players got to execute better, and they're watching film that is, you're not putting them in position to win. It is a situation that could very easily blow up in their face. And guys that have been bought in and guys that have committed to doing right and showing the right way, the right path for these younger dudes, they're going to end up losing credibility. Because at some point, folks are going to go, man, the hell are you talking about?
Some point.
I mean, at some point, the guys are going to do that. It may have already happened. I don't know.
Yeah, for some, it feels like. It feels like for some. Like,
I mean, think about it. Show.
I didn't feel like that way with Justin Reed.
I'm sure it's that way with Zach Cunningham. I'm sure it's that way with Des King. I'm sure it's that way with several guys on this defense. Now, You don't voice your opinion because you're going to go pick up that check on Tuesday. But ultimately, what you've got guys on your best players on the defensive side of the football can't stay on the field because they're getting disciplined for missing a COVID-19 test, right? And on the offensive side of the football, your offensive staff isn't targeting your best player, your only proven weapon on the entire offense, and instead they're featuring Rex Burkhead and David Johnson. At some point in time, it gets to a level of bad where the leaders that are trying to hold this thing together will ultimately be pushed aside, and it's just impossible. David Culley and Nick, they're making it impossible for the guys that have bought in to lead this locker room by the way they're handling the season.
Yeah. Are they losing credibility? I mean, in that locker room, that's an interesting thought and question with the Texans. With the moves that David Culley and Nick Caserio are making, now we are down to what are they? 2-10, 12 weeks, 13 weeks into the season, you count it by? Like, it's tough to think that guys in that locker room.
I'll tell you this. There's nobody in that locker room that thinks what's going on in Houston is doing them a favor relative to their next contract. Not one player. Not one player.
Except for Jeff Driskel.
Well, Jeff Driskel's picking up about a check about five times bigger than it should be. He should be on the practice squad. Instead, he's on the inactive list and getting paid as a roster player. But yeah, I mean, no, there's just not. I mean, you can argue maybe some of the guys, the defense has played good football. I don't want to. I mean, we should take at some point some time and salute Lovie Smith because he's doing a hell of a job, no question. And there may be some guys there, but there's this football that's being showcased every Sunday. It ain't helping nobody's next contract.
Let's hear from you. 713-572-4610. Do you feel like they're losing credibility? I know with the fan base, but you think they're losing credibility inside the locker room for these players? Their play, would sure show that. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Reaction Monday. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, we've been reacting most of the day. I want to hear from you. And 713-572-4610, let's hear from you on this Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. As we were talking about it, this team is bad, but it didn't have to be this bad as we discussed when you look at everything. And as you said, Clint, like, I mean, they're just losing credibility within the doors, and you're starting to see it week after week as it feels like from the players inside the locker room. It is tough to think that anybody looks in there and are thinking, because a lot of these are veterans. That's the other part of it. Is these are a lot of veterans in here, not young guys, to look at that group and think, boy, what we're doing has us on the right track. What we're doing is, this is it. Especially when you're a guy like Brandon Cooks, who's played where he's played, and you're in these, like, it's hard to believe that these guys in this locker room, what, have we reached here and thinking to themselves, this is it.
You just can't, like, you can't come to me, you can't come to me and say, Clint, I need you to buy in, man. I need you to do this right here. And then I flip the TV on, and show is spewing some god-awful, inaccurate, just out in left field, out of touch with reality stuff, and you're asking me to buy into it. Yeah, me and you are going to have a come-to-Jesus meeting after you get done with that media. I mean, you can't do it. You can't ask professionals to lead the charge and lead the change and lead the rebuild, and then the leader of the locker room consistently is overwhelmed with the simplest of tasks that's required of a head coach. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And then you know at 2-10, the adversity that comes with that, the pressure that comes with it. Guys got a month left in the season, and guys are going, man, what's my next contract going to look like?
Yeah.
You know, what's my future going to look like? Well, I mean, you're
I mean, that's got to be conversations that people are having, at least with themselves, or other people are like, right now, what am I, like, am I putting good enough stuff on film? Am I being put in position?
If I'm Chris Conley right now, I don't know how many years Chris Conley has, but if I'm Chris Conley right now, And I watch that first play of that football game, and obviously I take into consideration you're the worst offense in the league. You know, everything. If I'm Chris Conley, and I've been a good soldier all year long, and I'm buying in, and I'm leading the charge, and you're taking my reps, and Davion Davis is getting it, and it's turning into an interception. Oh, come on, man. I mean, at some point now. Chris Conley may be a dude that wants to do some other things off the field, and he's cool with just whatever 1 or 2 year deal he got here in Houston, and he ain't trying to get to the next contract. But there's guys in this organization that are trying to get to the next contract. Defensively, I think you probably got some dudes that are doing a good job, and they feel pretty confident about what they're doing in terms of creating value for themselves in the league, in Houston and around the league. Offensively, no. Yeah. Justin Britt? Come back off an injury?
Yeah, what am I doing?
Justin Britt, what are we doing here, coach? I mean, you know, Titus Howard. Titus Howard's a guy. What is Titus Howard? Second, third year? Third year,
third,
right?
Third year. This is third year.
Yeah, third year. I think it's third. This is third.
This is fourth year.
Anyway, year, go. Yeah. Irrelevant. The point is.
Last year. Yeah, this is third year.
The point is, show, is you got a guy that's he can sit around and go, well, I'll play any position. Doesn't matter. I mean, I'll do whatever they want me to do. At the end of the day, your best bet, where you are best fit to play is tackle. Number two, you're going to make tenfold the money at tackle that you're going to make inside at guard. And you've been a good soldier now. Hey, yeah, man.
Could you imagine if they tried to tell him to go back to guard this year? Could you imagine if they?
Oh, I could imagine it, yeah.
But I mean, what he would be thinking. If Titus Howard was pushed to go back to guard at some point, like, what are y'all doing?
Right.
Like, he may be somebody down for disciplinary reasons.
Right. Well, the point is, like, during the meat of the season, when you're 2-6, 2-5, you know, and you still got some hope left to turn this thing around, but hey, man, at 2-10, and the worst in the league, and the coach is pushing all the blame to the players. I'm just painting a picture of why a player might buck now that wouldn't have bucked a month ago. I mean, you're playing with Tytus Howard's money, right? By playing him at guard at this point in time, we've seen him at guard, we've seen him at tackle. You can look at the film, or you can look at the all the way over to the far left and look at the analytics, the PFFs of the world, and see where he's grading out higher. They're costing moving forward. You're costing him money and impacting his future in a negative way if you continue to ask him to play guard. At some point, that's going to break. At some point, that damn,
because he knows it. He knows that too. He knows that this is costing him.
Right. I hope he does. If he doesn't, his agent needs to sit him down and school him up a bit. I mean, you look at like I said, we talked about Justin Britt. Look at Jordan Akins. Look at Farrell Brown. I don't care what anybody says. I don't think I was far off with Farrell Brown. Should have got a damn contract based off of what we saw in training camp. You look at him. You don't think his next contract's being impacted in a major, major way?
Huge.
You just wonder with that many circumstances and that many 1 year contract dudes out there that should be contributing and are not in this environment with David Culley handling it the way he's handling it and Tim Kelly doing what he's doing. You just wonder if these guys can make it to the end of the year without several of them snapping.
No, we've already seen Justin Reed buck, and if Justin Reed will buck, anybody will buck, because he would be a guy that you wouldn't think would do it. All right, 713-572-4610. Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Let's allow you to react. Larry and Stafford, go ahead, Larry.
Hold on, so.
No.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me get in, man. And we're going to get to the credibility issue here in a second. But as far as moving Tytus back to guard or something like that, the only way that happens is if they figure out why the hell Laremy Tunsil ain't playing because of his thumb. And Laremy Tunsil is over there in that locker room. And this team is just doing stuff that we can't even figure out. So, but as far as the credibility, I don't know if y'all watch Yellowstone, but it ain't no Rips or Beths in that locker room over there. It's not gonna be nobody that's gonna stand up and push back against these dudes. Here's where we are, fellas. We did know. Everybody that's logical and reasonable and rational knew that this wasn't gonna be a good season. We knew that. But what we didn't factor into it is that this season was going to affect every other season after that. Because when Nick Caserio walked his ass in that plaid jacket looking like the devil incarnate and introduced David Culley as the head coach, everybody that I know scratched their head and damn near jumped off ship then. And so David Culley is doing exactly what we figured he was going to do when he said, hey, Melissa. We knew what he was going to be like. He has no power. And we keep asking, well, why is he standing firm on Tim Kelly? David Culley can't fire anybody. He didn't hire anybody. So he damn sure can't fire anybody. And so they're going to keep Tim Kelly's silly ass over there calling plays that are averaging 3.5 yards a pass in the National Football League. So now we have to go through what the whole picture looks like. The seats are empty. Fans are standing in front of Cal Sweet talking about he a jackass, Tommy boy, get rid of everybody. And then you got Larry and Stafford listening to Clint say it took him 5 minutes to drive from Baytown to Main Street to Kirby to get into a stadium. And then Larry wouldn't even pick up his damn keys to go over there and see the coach, who are our enemy in football, and he didn't want to go watch it. And they guys got boat race 31-0. This is a mess. And why it's a mess is because our owner has decided Jack Easterby and that administration over there is worth more than anything else, and it's a huge problem. And the bigger issue is it's going to affect the next staff. Because, hey, Landry, quit mentioning Josh McDaniels to anybody in the city of Houston. Because I can tell you, as somebody who's an individual and who loves his life, I don't want to have nothing else to do with anybody from New England ass. Maybe the Texans should try to stand on their own. Maybe Cal McNash should wipe out that whole damn thing over there and decide to take his diaper off and put on some damn panties or something and go out there and start fighting for the fans and this football team. Because if he doesn't, he's going to continue to lose people, and he's going to continue to watch a stadium that when they're talking about this thing on national TV and they show in the background, I could have never imagined that there would be that many empty seats in that stadium in my lifetime. And now I'm at the precipice of having to decide to get rid of my tickets because my son has told me to my face, Dad, when you're gone, don't leave those tickets to me, son, because I don't want them because these dudes don't know what they're doing. So it's crazy. But I'll say this and I'll let y'all go. From Baytown to Kirby, from wherever you live, so to Kirby, it's not going to get no better, fellas, because when they go 2-15 or whatever, we're going to still be having these same conversations. David Culley should be fired and I'll holler.
I appreciate the call, Larry. I do not suggest that Cal wear any panties for my end. You wear whatever drawers you want to wear.
I'll holler.
But as Larry finally landed the plane there, that's the part is everything that we've seen and we've discussed this is just feels like there was no headway made this year. It feels like you're just right where you were last year.
Well, show it. There's here's you're right. You're right. But here's the deal, man. Is like it becomes the longer this goes on, right? And this is the worst case scenario, by the way, when Nick Caserio hired David Culley, is you get to a point where I remember people when he was first hired. You know, I people mad at me because I said this is a Dave Campo hire. Everybody's like, oh, well, give him a chance. Just give him a chance. He's a football coach.
They
give
said
him a
it
chance.
Just like that.
Okay, that's fine. But here's the deal. As an organization, we're back to the credibility thing, that nobody in their right mind can understand, right, can understand where and how Cal McNair, Nick Caserio, and Jack Easterby sat across the table from David Culley and interviewed him. You could interview him for a week if you wanted to. Any degree you want to, you can interview David Culley. And if your plan was to have a bridge the gap coach, which again I've already said I don't agree with. I think you should have went out and found you an alpha and brought him in here and start building. But if your plan is to have a bridge the gap coach, you sat across the table from David Culley and said, "Bam, that's it." Well, that's the dude right there.
Also, now,
like,
also,
I don't understand how like it, that's where we're getting to though. Show it's so bad, it's so bad that people, and justifiably so, can be confused about how that happened.
I can even arrive to it if he's the only person you ever talked to, but you not only did you sit across from David Culley and said that's our guy, but you sat across from David Culley and said that's our guy after talking to Matt Eberflus, after talking to Eric Bieniemy, after talking to Jim Caldwell, after talking to Leslie Frazier, after talking to Joe Brady, after like you talk to all of those other people who aren't head coaches anywhere right now. You talk to all those other guys and talk to David Culley and said, "Wow, I know we're in a bit of an issue with Deshaun Watson. I know this season may be rough. I know that this guy who's probably never done a press conference, but one time a year. This guy, he's it. Listen to him. They said it to us. We want a guy that's going to be the face of the organization." That's what they said coming in. That's what the next head coach is going to be, a yeah. face coming in. And then they said, boy, you hear him, wait. That's what Nick said in that jacket that Larry's talking about. Nick said, boy, you hear him one time, I'm telling you, you hear that passion out of David Culley, you'll see exactly why we hired him. I remember my eyes were as big as saucers. Like, is he dead serious? My goodness alive. Reaction Monday, goodness. Presented by Coors Light. Nick, I'll let you jump in here. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, how are you guys doing? I wanted to talk about that comment the show made about Caserio being worse than Bill O'Brien, as in pixel-wise. I want to go back to if DeAndre Hopkins had never got traded, I don't believe Deshaun Watson would have ever asked for a trade with Bill O'Brien gone too. I don't believe he would have asked for a trade. And I don't believe they would have hired David Culley with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins still there.
Yeah.
So I think everything would be different right now.
Fair assessment, Nick. But still, with whatever you said, I'm not saying that Nick Caserio overall as a general manager is worse than Bill O'Brien. I'm saying the move he made to hire David Culley is worse than anything Bill O'Brien did. And I will stand by that. And like one part of it, you bring in Deshaun Watson, you bring up Deshaun Watson's part of it. Because like whatever you say about what if, when Nick Caserio arrived, there was no DeAndre Hopkins. He was gone for a full year. And when he arrived, it was Deshaun Watson on the outs of the organization. And one of the things that potentially could help Deshaun Watson be on, maybe get back in the boat, as Clint was saying, was who you would hire as the next head coach. And you went with David Culley, as if that was going to be something to help him get to the boat. And instead, you thought maybe keeping on Tim Kelly is the thing that's going to make him want to stay. So the combination of hiring David Culley and bringing, because at this point, when he hired David Culley, the Deshaun stuff with the legal stuff hadn't occurred. Your plan was, let me keep Tim Kelly and bring in David Culley. And that, because we heard David Culley and Deshaun had a good interaction at a Pro Bowl. Like, come on, man. Like, this is the two, like, for me, and you may disagree, and this is maybe why people jump off. To me, the two most important things to an NFL organization is your head coach and your quarterback. Those are the roles that I want to get right. Those are the two roles. You started your program with David Culley, and it's not hindsight. Like, you started your program with David Culley. Like, I mean, I'd have felt better about Josh McCown.
Well,
you started your program with David Culley.
Well, even if you, again, like I don't want to get into, you know, the specifics of whether I agree with their plan or not, or what Nick Caserio inherited or he didn't inherit, right? I mean, I think there's, that we can get way off in the weeds. I know that wasn't your point with the DeAndre Hopkins comparison, but it's like the fact of the matter is that a GM was hired, and that GM was hired to then decide how this organization would move forward. And his decision was, to out of the gate, he was going to hire a bridge the gap coach. And whether I like that plan or not is completely irrelevant. That plan was poorly executed. You hired a guy that is completely incapable of the basic head coach duties in the NFL. You then hired the former regime's offensive coordinator. And whether you thought it was going to help get Deshaun back in the boat or not, it was a poor decision before you ever knew if it was going to help get Deshaun back in. Who makes their decisions based on that? Like that. So it's not the plan, it's the execution of that plan that has gotten consistently worse with every day that passes, with every decision that's made. It's got consistently worse, and that to me, that's the indefensible part of this, the part that you can't hide from, the part that we've all got to look at and go, y'all can talk about Nick Caserio's 6 Super Bowl trophies if you want to. I'm going to talk about the decisions that he's made since he's become the Houston Texans GM and had responsibilities of his own. And to me, right now, I think Nick Caserio has he's 0-1. Oh, with the Culley hire, maybe you can say 0-2 with the Tim Kelly retention. I mean, he's 0-4 in the win column with decisions that he's made at this point in time.
Clint Sterner's Football at 4 coming up next. And listen, there's confusion on a lot of things in football leading up to this. We've been talking about the Texans and their confusion, but one thing happened over the weekend. There is no confusion anymore. We know the answer. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.